This month at Careering Into Motherhood, we're focusing on career change. So if you're one of the 50% of people considering making a change this year, then make sure you don't miss these episodes. I'm Jane Johnson, and this is the Careering Into Motherhood podcast. Today, my guest is Jane McKenna, one of our partner career coaches. She runs the coaching consultancy Brilliant Me, and she focuses in particular on helping women to empower themselves, to know their value, get clarity on what they want, and to return to the workplace with confidence, however long they may have been away. And I wanted to talk to her a bit more about what a coach really does. What is it they do with their clients that has those very clients evangelizing about how special they are? Launching new businesses, finding new work happiness. We talk about dealing with perfectionism in this episode and limiting beliefs that we tell ourselves that stop us going out there and doing what it is we really want to do. Have a listen and see what Jane says. I am really excited to welcome you to the podcast. You have been one of the Careering Into Motherhood coaching partners for a few months now, and I've had the pleasure of hosting you on one of our live coaching sessions, which went really well. So I am always interested when I type an email to you. Your email or your company is Brilliant Me, which I think just sounds really nice, really appealing. What was the sort of inspiration for that?
Thank you. That's a very nice compliment about the company name. It came to me because I found myself surrounded by all of these brilliant women who were undervaluing themselves.
Really?
And what I wanted to do was for everybody to really identify with their brilliant self and then unlock all of that potential that I could see sort of bubbling below the surface just from talking to them. And that's sort of what set me on my path. So it felt perfect as a name.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's really, it sticks. It certainly sticks. Now we're, as you know, and some of our listeners will get to know, we are focusing this month on career change. So helping women who want to make some kind of change at some point this year or in the near future, and who better to do it than our amazing cohort of coaches. And I know that obviously helping women navigate a career change is something that you do day in, day out. What's the first thing that you would start with a client who came to you and said, I think something needs to change. I'm not happy anymore in what I'm doing, or I want to get back to what I was doing that I used to love. Where do you start in terms of putting people on that journey?
It does depend client to client, of course. It's a very bespoke journey. But if I was to generalize, I'd say more often than not, we'll start really quite big picture. So that's visualizing what they want that change to look like, focusing in on what's important to them professionally and personally, because it's a complete thing. It's a life change more than anything. And also in that big picture, we need to pull in things like the impact that might have on their financial plans. That's something that's really important to consider. And that might have an impact on the pace of change or the route of change. And also what we often reflect on when we're thinking about the big picture is how that person might feel in a year's time if they didn't make that change. It can be quite a powerful, motivating factor. And there are some other things we pull in here as well, which I call more of a scoping sort of process, where it's about thinking about what's really important, what has to be there. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, what has to not be there. It has to be flexible. And I don't ever want to commute 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. An hour and a half each way. You know, I'm talking.
I think a lot of people are thinking that. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I suppose, do you focus in as well on? I mean, I'm going to give a very personal anecdote here, but I don't focus. It's really interesting on you mentioned before about what would it feel like if you didn't make this change in a year's time. I love that idea, so I'm going to have a think about that myself later. But sometimes doing what I think needs to be done suddenly feels really, really scary. And I think
a lot of women, myself included, sort of go, oh, I could do that, but it's all going to go wrong. We talked before on this podcast about women in particular needing to get things 100% right. And if they're not 100% right, then it's a total failure. How do you help clients navigate around that stuff?
Well, the first, it was interesting where you started that point, actually, about it, that feeling of overwhelm, of it just being too big. And the first thing to point out really about any change, career change or life change, is it's a process. It takes time. So to just sort of take a step back and accept that it's going to take time and a bit of work. And then you talked a little bit about what in the coaching world we call limiting beliefs. So they're the things that might stop you doing what you want to do. And everybody has them. That's the thing. And you might not always know what they are. They can be quite triggered by certain situations. So knowing what they are or identifying them and naming them when they come up is the first stage in being able to do something about it. I do a lot of work with limiting beliefs with particularly my clients going through career change. And it's about understanding that it's things that you've told yourself to be true. They're not necessarily actually true. And what we do together is start to build up the evidence to debunk that belief.
Interesting.
And it can be extremely liberating, because if you think about how that belief might be holding you back, it can be the difference between believing you can do something and stepping off that step to do it, or believing you can't do it and never trying. And then when you start to actually understand what the consequences of not trying are, again, it's that if I don't make a change now, how will I feel in 12 months' time? It's just a lot of personal reflection on what might happen if I don't do something. So what could I do about it to make it happen? That's some quite thought-provoking work that I would do with a lot of my clients.
Yes, interesting. And I'm going to play devil's advocate for a little bit. You know, so there is a fear, I think, that you work with a coach, and of course that coach is on your side. Of course they're going to tell you you can, you know, do X, Y, Z. And the fact that I have this dream to build or create something and I'm a bit scared about it, there may be some truth in that. There may be something that I should be quite nervous or scared about. But is a coach going to tell me, no, don't worry about that. You can do it. You can be whatever you want to be. I mean, how do we get around that? And how do you work with clients to find what the truth really is?
I love that, by the way. It's really about working through
your own little gremlin coming to the fore there.
What that belief is, and breaking it down, where that might have come from, what it's tied up in. Is it about your identity? Is it about capability? And really understanding that, what it is about that stop you doing something. And like I said a little bit earlier, building up that evidence to start to prove that maybe that belief isn't necessarily true. It's just something that has built up over time for you as an individual. And then the next step that we'd work on, which is where the cheerleading part of it that you referred to, is we would actually start to, or certainly I'd encourage you to create a new belief, which is tangible and believable. So it wouldn't necessarily be, yes, you can do it, go for it. It's like, what can you do? What feels right for you? And how are you going to go about doing it? And what small steps can you start to take that's going to start disproving that belief that you are holding? So it's quite an incremental process. And it's about self-reflection and starting to understand your truth, really.
Jane, I know you work quite a lot on this concept of a woman creating her own career story. I mean, I don't know, do you literally encourage women to sit down and kind of write something or record something? What is a career story?
I'm a very visual person. So I see it as this big Venn diagram with multiple circles in it. So one of those circles might be values, another one strengths, another one traits, another one skills, expertise, and career highlights, achievements. And if you imagine all of these interconnecting circles, and the core of that is your story.
So where they all overlap, where all Absolutely. The circles overlap, that's your story. Really interesting. And do you take women clients through that process of working out those individual components?
Absolutely. Step by step. So what you're doing is you're creating this narrative without, you're not there with a blank piece of paper to write down your story. We do it bit by bit by bit. And then you end up with something that you create yourself, which gives you that way to articulate all those important points about you, who you are, what you stand for, what value you bring, what is important to you, all of those things that make you individual.
So I suppose once you've got those overlapping circles and you understand each of the kind of components of it, it becomes a lot easier to work with you and say, well, this idea that I wanted to go and be a rocket scientist or something is completely right within my sweet spot or absolutely not, well and truly outside of it. Is that the kind of work you do with clients?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I do after bringing all of that, firstly, knowing that narrative and being able to articulate it, actually makes everything easier in all different areas of your career change, if you like. One of the other things that we do is work around prioritizing those ideas. So a lot of people might have multiple ideas moving around in their head. I certainly know I did when I went through a career change process. And what I encourage my clients to do is to consider all ideas to be valid and just work them down on a piece of paper. So they've got all of this sort of self-discovery knowledge that we've done, which really enables a much, much more clarity when you're interrogating all of those ideas. So what we would tend to do is get them all on a piece of paper and start to think about, how do I actually feel about that? What is it that draws me to it? What are the barriers? And then you start to build up more detail behind each of those ideas, which makes it much, much easier to prioritize where you want to be putting your energy.
And how long typically does that sort of process take? I mean, I guess it's how long is a piece of string, but on the whole, just for managing expectations, how long would I expect to spend mapping those different components?
I run a program about career change, and that runs over 8 weeks.
Okay.
We meet fortnightly, and then we have an hour's live coaching together. And in the interim, I provide workbooks. And I would say each of those workbooks, which builds up all of these parts that we're talking about, would be about 1 to 2 hours each. Okay. So again, if that was a one-to-one journey with me, again, there would be that sort of self-discovery work that we talked about. So the important thing is that, and this is how coaching can really help, is making that time to be with your thoughts and your ideas and writing them down and working it through. It does take time. There's no getting away from it. And actually, if you start too far ahead, you can end up going round and round in circles.
Really?
Because you haven't necessarily got the clarity of vision that you maybe needed to start with, which is why I tend to start with that really big picture, then bring it down to sort of the unique components of that story. Then we start to prioritize, and then we sort of harness all of that and go on to the action part of it, I suppose.
Yes. And I guess some of these things might tip over a bit into it, not just looking at work and careers, but some of them might be like, well, actually, could I scratch that itch with something else in my private life?
Absolutely. And that's where that work around values can be really, really useful. Often, particularly, I work with a lot of clients who might be around in their 40s, and that's often a stage which purpose becomes much more important. Done all the other bits, and actually doing something which is purposeful really, really shifts up the priority ladder. And you're absolutely right. Maybe it's something you could stay in the same company, but you could find a way of pursuing your purpose while you're continuing in that career and find another outlet for it.
Do you think that has the pandemic had more of an impact on people needing to feel a sense of purpose or having a clearer idea of what their values and belief systems are based upon? Have you seen any change as a result of that? I was speaking to a woman last week who mentioned she literally had PTSD as a result of homeschooling and trying to keep her job and go through everything that, you know, we as working mums or wanting to be working mums went through during the pandemic. I'm just interested in whether you've seen that spark demand for change, career change.
I would say I have. How it manifests itself in the people that I connect with is the pandemic gave people a chance to think and reflect. And I think that has come out, or the outcome of that has meant that people are maybe redressing, rebalancing their lives as a whole. Mm. I also work with women coming back from maternity leave. And again, it's often that time away from that relentless 9-to-5, which yes. allows people to have a reassessment, a reevaluation of what's important to them.
And all this talk of sort of career change, I mean, you yourself obviously came to career coaching as a change, as a pivot. Was this process something you did? Maybe not in its exact entirety, but I guess what was it that drove you to thinking, actually, yeah, career coaching is the thing for me?
I had some time to think about my change. So I did a similar process to the one that we've talked about, but not in the depth. I did have some coaching in the past, and I drew on the experience that I'd had from that too. I understood the value of it, but I did a lot of work myself. If I had my time again, I would have employed a coach again to help navigate through understanding the value. And actually, it's the momentum and it's the accountability. In fact, I work very well with having an accountability partner, and that partnership would have helped me, I think, get to the stage that I got quicker.
That's something that we hear quite a lot, actually. You know, people try, you can sort of do bits on your own and work through things. I mean, you've given people here a great framework, but actually, if it's something that you can afford, then having somebody there to make you or keep you accountable. And I guess even if it's something, you know, career coaching may not be for everyone, but actually talking to somebody about these goals and aims that you want to make over the rest of this year, and checking in with someone, whether it's a friend or a partner or a relative, to keep you accountable, has a much bigger likelihood on whether or not you'll achieve it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's incredibly powerful. So find yourself an accountability partner in any guise you can. And in fact, if you are able to connect with someone who is at a similar point to you, that's a great way to start. And you can exchange, if you are able to verbalize to someone else an action that you're going to take, you can then check back in with each other that you've taken it. Every time you take an action, it leads to something else. That's the one thing you can do to continue your momentum on this type of journey. And we come back to limiting beliefs again. If it feels scary, why does it feel scary? Mm. What small thing can you do to move yourself forward? And you'll feel amazing once you've done it. You might feel a bit sick. Yes. Maybe it's connecting with someone on LinkedIn and you send them a message, or you're sending an email. You know, press send, because then it's done. And that's my overriding piece of advice, is even if it's one small action, reconnecting with an old friend on LinkedIn, an old colleague, someone who, you know, start small, someone, you know, you can just have a chat with someone about your ideas, what you're thinking of doing. It doesn't need to be that person who will be hugely useful and might lead to a job. Build up to that.
Yes.
And that's the whole, if we come back to the idea of owning your story, it's like you can practice that with the people around you. Have a coffee with someone you used to work with. Start talking about the things that you want to talk about, and see how it feels saying it. The more you say it, the more comfortable it gets. And then before you know it, you'll be having a coffee with that person who might introduce you to someone who ends up employing you.
So true. It's so true, Jane, what you're saying. You know, I'm thinking again of Careering into Motherhood that we started. I remember less than 3 years ago, about 2.5 years ago now, I sent an email, a friend request on Facebook. And as you can tell, I know very little about Facebook. I literally set up my own profile so that I could create this group. And I explained to her why I wanted to create a group and nothing, and asked if she would please join it and tell a few other people. And now, kind of 2.5 years later, we're business, and you know, there's some nearly 9,000 women in the group and so on, and that has literally happened from just sending that first friend request. So brilliant advice, thank you so much for sharing all of those great tips here today on the podcast. Obviously we'll put all the information about how people can get in touch with you in the show notes, but thank you very much, Jane.
If you're thinking about making a career change, I hope that gave you some food for thought, possibly even some ideas about how you can find your next thing, and also what a career coach does and how they may be even able to help you. If you're interested in coaching, it can be difficult to know where to start to find the right one. Our website has nearly 50 coaches' profiles, complete with their areas of expertise, qualifications, and fee structures. And if you're not in a position to pay for coaching at the moment, there are heaps of free resources and tools on the website that you can download as well. Don't forget, you can find out more about everything we have to offer at www.careeringintomotherhood.com or join our Facebook group of the same name. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.